Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who... who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all,
why are people
baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every day? Every hour. I die every day. I mean that, brothers. Just as truly as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts and Ephesians for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are those who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. We have been told the truth of Jesus' resurrection as a historical fact, an event that started the conquest of God's enemies, so crucial to our faith as Christians. The Corinthians church, however, in their corruption, denied the resurrection. Here, Apostle Paul shows us the consequences of this, saying, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? Apparently, in the Corinthians church, there were people who were being baptized on behalf of the dead, thinking that if they received baptism in their place, their loved ones would go to heaven. Wait a minute, they didn't believe in the resurrection, but they did this bizarre ritual. What they were doing didn't match with what they were said. Their action had absolutely no connection to their beliefs. What were they doing? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? If there is no resurrection, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Here Paul points out two ways people live with no resurrection faith, either a hedonistic life or a nihilist life. Those who say, let us eat and drink, are hedonistic, which means pleasure-seeking. They reason that there is nothing after death, so there is no reason to deny any desire. All they want to do is have a good time. So maybe they seek after parties every weekend, or after human love, enjoyment, by alcohol and drugs. Yet in these things, they find nothing that lasts. A deep sense of shame comes over them. They feel worthless and see no point. They begin to hate themselves to the point of self-destruction even. The pleasure is momentary, and no life worth is found there. The phrase, for tomorrow we die, shows a nihilist sense of meaningless. If we die tomorrow, there's no point to work hard today. With this thought mentality, nihilists suffer from depression, fear of death, and emptiness. Everything is pointless, and the outcome of their life is only death. No hope whatsoever. Both of these lifestyles are rooted in the same disbelief of the resurrection of the dead. Man's life really means nothing without resurrection. However, with this hope and trust in the resurrection, a different type of life is possible. This life of Apostle Paul, who describes it in this way, I die every day. I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord. What kind of life is this? This is the life of denying his own plans, his own desires to live for the purpose of God. Paul did not try to gratify his own desires, as hedonistic people did. He did not live according to his own emotions or feelings, as nihilistic people did. Instead, he lived for God's purpose, striving to serve and fulfill what God had planned for him. And when his own desires and plans and God's plans conflicted, he didn't choose his desires. Instead, for the sake of God, he let them go. Surely, this life is not easy. Of course it was difficult. Just because he was a great man of God does not mean the pain was not experienced. It was painful, like the pain of dying, like feeling like the murderer of his own future. Maybe he got a job offer, the dream job he always wanted, providing lots of money and ensuring a secure future, maybe a nice house and a really cool car. Yet to serve God's mission, to continue to walk in the path God wanted him to, he gave it up. turned down the job offer and went back to following the Lord wholeheartedly. How painful this really must be. Yet for the sake of God, every day he lived this way, willing to die to his desire for the glory of his Lord. Even his marriage dream, his fellowship desires, his little wants and secret hopes, his life, nothing was to get in the way of his mission for the Lord. And as a result, God's work went on powerfully through him. With faith and hope in the resurrection, he lived a life of dying every day because of his hope was not in this life. It was in the kingdom to come, the life to come. Knowing this body, this life, is just temporary for a short time. Yet things in the kingdom of God are eternal. So he lived for that kingdom as an evangelist to the end of his life instead of chasing after his own dreams. So many were blessed from this life of mission, and even the course of human history was changed. Paul then said, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you are, and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Good character is that that comes from the hope of the resurrection. Because of this hope, we struggle hard to serve God's mission and fulfill his desires instead of living for ourselves. Those who live this way inspire many also to have faith. Yet there are those who are bad company. Bad company tries to encourage us to pursue and fulfill our own desires. They put the emphasis on this life and can corrupt our good struggle of faith. This company corrupts good character. Paul cries out here, come back to your senses. Stop sinning. Our hope should not be in this world, yet in the kingdom of God, where we will see Jesus in his glory and live forever with him. Surely a life of even death every day brings a true life with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Looking at my past life, I did believe there was a God. And sure, I went to church on Sunday. What I didn't believe was there was any hope for me, any resurrection of the condition I faced. When I was 13 years old, my life took a turn for the worse. Due to my mother's remarriage, I did not adjust well to the new family. I had hardships with my friends and also got diagnosed with several learning disabilities. Then the reasons why I've been so different were made clear. They thought I'd be happy to know I was not dumb, but instead I just felt like I didn't know who I was, because my life started to sound like a side effect of my disabilities. It was a lot for a little eighth grader to handle. I thought the world would be better off without me, and that single thought grew till I was holding a knife ready to take my life. Just then my cross necklace got in the way. I had forgotten all about God, but I knew it was not by chance my necklace had the sun at the right moment. So for God, I didn't end my physical life. My spiritual life, however, was still far gone. I wore a crosslet necklace every day to stop any stupid action, but the thoughts and nightmares were still there every day. My artwork became dark and gothic, and so did I. My life started to do this spiral of forgetting God, closing my eyes, and then opening them to find everything I didn't want to see. Yet amazingly, every time, God was there for me. He had been so merciful to me, even sending me his servant, Shepherdess Taylor, and we started Bible studies. But I was still unwilling to change, unwilling to let go of sin and the people that encouraged it. This time, I became that crazy party girl, trying to fix my problems the way I saw others fixing theirs. And once again, I forgot all about God, except for that once-a-week study. I came up with reasons not to follow God completely, and still tried to whatever to keep my ex, Prince Charming, around, and tried anything to be happy. Then here we are again when the suicide thoughts increased. I became who I didn't want to be, and even tried therapy. When I told the lady the only reason I was alive was because of God, they pushed every emergency number they could at me. This was just as sophomore year was coming to an end, and I'm not sure why I decided to spend my whole summer in Genesis studies. I guess I saw some hope there, so might as well try that too. It was not until the study of Ishmael, though, that I realized what had to happen. God said to Abraham to send away Ishmael and Hagar. This is probably the last thing somebody would expect, that God wanted to break up a family to just tell them to leave. This really opened my eyes that everything we do for God is not going to be nice. Not everything is going to be what we want to do or what seems right. I realized that there is no nice way to tell somebody to leave, and no easy way either, especially someone I love, like Abraham did with Ishmael. I realized, though, that I must protect God's blessing. Protect first my relationship with God, even if that meant sending away what I loved. I thought before I could keep in my life certain people that encouraged sin and pulled me away from God's blessing. Yet it became very clear after that passage that my newborn baby faith, like Isaac, needed to be protected. I knew it would hurt them. I knew I would be a wreck. And I also knew for God it was what I had to do. I kept hearing and studying how great God is and how happy things are with him. So I gave it a try. I thought, why not just let God make me better? I was at my breaking point again and decided I'll try this whole not sinning thing for a week. I needed some time to think, some time with God. So I shut everyone out. I shut off my phone, shut down Facebook, and just went to Bible studies and prayed. Mostly not leaving my room, but hiding, determined not to mess up. I thought I was going to go crazy, but being almost there already, it was a sacrifice I was willing to make. I let God in charge of everything, and it was such a hard week. I banged my head against the wall a few times wondering what the heck I was doing giving up everything. Yet somehow, I was happy just praying, content letting God choose everything. It was so strange to have nothing and be happy. Heck, it was strange just to be truly happy. I didn't realize that at first. But my nightmare stopped. I didn't want to die anymore. I didn't want that week to really end, so I made the call. I actually changed and told Prince Charming I was not under his spell anymore and to get lost. I got rid of everything, every person who hindered my faith. My friends were gone, unwilling to be my friends when I refused to sin. All that was left was my growing faith and promises God has for me. And somehow, after all that pain, God had brought me laughter and happiness as his growing child. Only with the Lord did I cry tears of joy, a feeling never known before. God's blessing and precious gift is that of the Holy Spirit. I had to protect it so it can continue to grow in me. With only that gift in my life, I was not worried about whom I would date, because I chose God. Not worried about my future, because I accepted his plans, not my own. I finally felt truly free. And then, for the first time since eighth grade, I could walk down the street and not dream of jumping in front of the speeding cars, but instead wanted to live for God, not die. Amen. This experience of God's salvation from the power of sin and death changed my life completely. So happy and thankful for God's grace, I became a servant of God teaching the Bible at CSUOB. My life became filled with joy to hear first prayers, to see lives change, to share truth and love I now know of. God has brought me jumping up and down, dancing like a crazy person, yelling out praises, never-ending kind of joy that I can't even comprehend. At first, I was scared to approach random students, asking them for Bible study. Strangely, however, it went well, and students enjoyed the study. Even after my first Bible study, another student came up to me and asked for a Bible study. Since then, she has been my most faithful student. I believe God has really helped me with my mission, practically carrying me through my first semester teaching. And then, when this semester began, I was really determined to set my foot firmly in my mission. I really wanted to prove to God that I really wanted this. So even when my mother would not give me a ride to school and I had to church any longer and stopped giving me my weekly allowance for food, I was still able to stand firm, holding on to God's grace, roller skating to school, finding friends to pay to church, and even my dad randomly came back into my life and supported me financially. I knew despite this hardship, God was with me, and so I was not backing down. Determined still, one day I went fishing for 6 hours, walking and asking students for Bible studies. It was really hard, yet with encouragement, I endured and kept fishing till I absolutely had the lead. My result, however, was not one student accepted my invitation. I was really frustrated and confused. Yet the next day, I reasoned to be used by God, I would still make myself available, continue fishing, and not be defeated by the situation. This time, it was pouring down rain. But when I was still determined to search for students, that day I was so blessed to even receive 5 students that have remained faithful to studies. I pray that God may really touch their hearts of students through the Word of God, and may strengthen me all the more to set my foot in the mission field. When the burden of schoolwork increased, though, I did not slow my mission life. Rather, took hours away from sleeping and eating to keep up. I found, though, however, that I am limited and my body could not take it. I threw up and fainted a few times. Even my weight dropped down to 89 pounds, which worried my doctors. However, through this, I realized even if my body fails me, I may rejoice in the life God has given me. I learned how much God values me and loves me. Life that is dedicated to God is indeed beautiful. Even when my struggles were not over. I saw that I needed a job, and as I was struggling to serve God's work, then actually several job offers came my way. I was excited, but strangely also, all of them conflicted with my devotion to God, such as working on Sundays or paintings for another religion, so I had to turn down all of these offers. Even temptations with friends, such as simple dinners and nights out with them, seemed innocent, so I thought, why not? I went out to dinner, went bowling, but slowly more sin and temptation came into the situation. I eventually realized what's going on and told them I could no longer be their friend if they hindered my relationship with God. I shared my life testimony with them and how God delivered me from sin. At this, my friend was touched and said, I will not be the one who corrupts Taylor. It was painful to be willing to even deny this friendship. How frightening really these situations can be. Yet nothing should stand in the way of the Lord. So I am willing to die every day so that I can love him and serve him. I thank God for rescuing me from life, a life of destruction, and giving me this new life, Zoe, which I truly enjoy and cherish, full of meaning and fulfillment by his grace. I pray that God may use me completely to bring this good news of a new life in Jesus to many dying students on college campuses. One word, Jesus has brought us life. Amen.